Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Isabel Hardman and this is the Sunday Roundup. With the budget due on Monday, Sophie Ridge was joined by Philip Hammond. The Chancellor told Ridge that tomorrow's budget would not be the last we'd hear from him if the Brexit negotiations were to break down.
If we were to leave the European Union without any deal, and I think that's an extremely unlikely situation, but of course we have to prepare and plan for all eventualities, as any prudent government would. If we were to find ourselves in that situation, then we would need to take a different approach to the future of Britain's economy. We would need to look at a different strategy, and frankly, we'd need to have a new budget that set out a different strategy for the future.
So less spending,
The approach that I'm going to be setting out tomorrow is based on the assumption, as is the OBR's report, of a deal being done with the European Union and us continuing to be able to trade on reasonable terms with our closest neighbours in Europe.
However, when speaking to Andrew Marr later, Hammond sought to reassure.
If we leave with no deal, we'll be in a different set of circumstances and it would require a different approach, a different response.
Would it need an emergency budget next year?
Well, one of the things that I have done, and I said a few weeks ago in Birmingham that I will continue to do, is maintain fiscal buffers, a reserve of borrowing power against my fiscal rules, so that if the economy, as a result of a no-deal Brexit, or indeed because of something else that we haven't anticipated, needs support over the coming months and years, I have the capacity to provide that support. So if there was an unexpected turn of events, the right thing to do would be to revisit where we are, decide how best to respond. That depends on what markets are doing. It depends on the circumstances of the moment. But the important point is I have got fiscal reserves that would enable me to intervene.
Ridge went on to speak to the Shadow Chancellor, John McDonnell, and asked him for his response to the Chancellor's interview. Unsurprisingly, McDonnell was not impressed.
In that interview, he seemed to complacently accept that there's a likelihood of no deal. We can't accept that. We've got to ensure that there is a deal. And the best way of doing that is Theresa May negotiating a proper deal that protects jobs and the economy. And if she can't do that, she should step to one side because there's too much at risk from a no deal. And if she can't do it herself, let Labour get on with the negotiations or let's have that general election and let the people decide.
So just to be clear, would you support a deal that Theresa May comes back with if you think it is, you know, the best or at least a reasonable way of protecting jobs? Because looking at your six tests, I mean, one of them is to deliver the exact same benefits as we currently have as members of the single market and customs union. I mean, that's impossible, isn't it? No matter who's in the negotiating seat.
Well, those tests are basically the tests of what they set themselves. This is what they promised us. They said, she said, David Davis said, exactly the same benefits. So our tests are based upon what the government promised us. But we've said time and time again, bring back a deal that would protect jobs and the economy. And yes, of course, we'll support it.
McDonnell also sat down with Marr, who challenged him over the cost of his proposals to renationalise, among other things, the Royal Mail, British Gas, the water companies and the national grid.
Remember, what we're doing is whatever we purchase will be a value that comes onto our asset book, so it'll be neutral. These are profitable
but
operations.
But you still have to buy them.
Yes, they're profitable operations. And the profit we will use to pay for some of the borrowing that we'll need to do, this bonds for shares scheme that we'll do. But in addition to that, we'll invest in, we'll use it for investment too. Because what we're doing, let me give you water as an example. We've had this discussion before. We're cutting out the dividend payments to the speculators. 18 billion in water paid out in dividends. Do you know some of those companies were borrowing to pay dividends rather than to invest? That will happen. We will not be ripped off anymore.
We've had this conversation, Paul. We haven't yet got a figure on what it's going to cost. I've got a few examples here, a few examples of the current asset values of things that you would like to take into public ownership. So Royal Mail there, £3.5 billion. Not a lot of money, actually, to bring the Royal Mail back into private ownership. Centrica, twice that. Seven Tent Water, just one of the water companies, 4.3.
But you're working on the basis that this is a cost. When we purchase something, it comes onto our books. It's neutral. That becomes an asset that we own. then instead of the profits going into shareholders' pockets, we will use those profits to invest, reduce bills, and if we have to borrow at all, issue bonds for shares, that will cover the cost of those.
But we are going to have to borrow to do this.
But that borrowing then is covered.
And we're going to have to pay for that borrowing.
Yeah, but that borrowing is covered by the profits from those individual companies, and those profits will cover the borrowings, but also help us reduce costs and allow us to invest as well. This is not rocket science. This is literally traditional business methods.
The Centre for Policy Studies, not perhaps the most politically neutral body, but nonetheless, they say it will cost £143 billion to do this.
Yeah. Wasn't that paid for by the water industry itself?
176 billion.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. I think some of these studies have been paid for by the industries themselves, and I have to have an element of scepticism. Also, some of them by the most right-wing think tanks that have existed in our country.
So, if this is a ludicrous figure, as you clearly think, what is the real figure?
Well, that will be determined by Parliament. Parliament will determine the price.
Don't people have to have some sense of what this is going to cost?
Well, when Parliament determines that, that will determine the price. But let me reassure them, it will not cost them anything, because what we'll be doing is taking an asset, it will give us an income, we'll cover the costs of purchase and invest properly and reduce costs.
The former Education Secretary, Justine Greening, has expanded on a point of criticism she made last month, explaining why she did not feel that the Treasury always made the most cost-effective decisions long-term.
This is about the Treasury. You said it doesn't have a framework for valuing investment in people, whether it's health or education or early intervention. That's not seen or accounted for as an investment. Instead, it's always been seen by the Treasury as a cost. What did you mean?
What I mean is that, as it sounds like, we'll hear more roads investment tomorrow. And of course, that's welcome. But in the end, what's going to determine Britain's success, whatever happens on Brexit, is going to be people. And it's the people who get in those cars. It's the people logging on through improved broadband and their skills that will make the difference. And what I was saying was that Treasury does not value investment in people properly. And because of that, I don't think we get the right decisions out of that department. And it now needs to fundamentally reform to make sure that in a knowledge-based economy, which is the 21st century we're in, we actually get sensible decisions taken by Treasury and sensible investment in people.
And finally, Jacob Rees-Mogg put in an appearance on Ridge's show to play down the Chancellor's warnings about the effects of a no-deal Brexit, highlighting that the Treasury had been overly cautious in the past.
Do you think that the Chancellor could be a bit of an ally in this? Or do you think that he's someone who perhaps is not seizing the benefits of Brexit?
Oh, look, the Treasury has been the bastion of Ramonerism since the referendum, and indeed before. It came out with all these lunatic forecasts before the referendum as to what would happen purely on a vote to leave. Bear in mind, the Treasury said there'd be 800,000 job losses, potentially, just on voting to leave, before anything had happened. So the Treasury has rather embarrassed itself, has a lot of egg on its face from getting its Brexit-related forecasts so wrong so far. And I think there is an element within the Treasury that is still grumpy about Brexit, and that's a pity.
That's all for this week. I'm Isabel Hardman, and this podcast was produced by Matthew Taylor. Don't forget to subscribe to the Coffee House Shots podcast on the iTunes store, and you can get a great deal on the magazine with 12 issues for just £12 and a free limited edition Spectator thermally insulated water bottle. Just visit spectator.co.uk/water. And if you enjoyed this podcast, do subscribe to our daily evening blend email. It's a free roundup of all the political news each day, along with analysis and a diary on what to expect next. Just go to spectator.co.uk/eveningblend. Thanks for listening, and join me again next week.